And now, Orson Welles.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last, or at least the latest chapter in the strange story of the mutiny on the Bounty, we're going to tell you tonight, before this broadcast is over. It was written only last summer, and only a few miles from this studio. Hack is a taxicab. It is also what you call a writer if you're mad at him. Quack is what Donald Duck says, and what you should never call a doctor. Ham is the most distinguished reference you can make to an amateur radio operator. But there are two kinds of hams, and smile when you call a radio actor a ham. Say ham to Mrs. Dorothy Hall, however, and she'll just smile. I'd like to make this quite clear before I go on. When you say radio ham to me, it is either dramatic criticism or fighting words, depending on how big you are. But okay around Mrs. Hall, because ham is just a pleasant reminder in the queer vernacular of her own people that she has passed tests A and B of the Federal Communications Commission and belongs to the elect among amateur radio operators of the world. Mrs. Hall's kind of ham pioneered radio. Mrs. Hall's kind of ham stays up late and gets up early, eats irregularly, rescues flood victims, and talks like an E. Phillips Oppenheim spy into an H.G. Wells machine, thinking nothing of such phrases as QRM, QC, QRT, and QSL, the exact meaning of which I am not entirely certain. 88, however, means love and kisses. This I have committed to memory in several languages. 88. Y15KG is what Mrs. Hall assures me she calls His Royal Highness Crown Prince Faisal Gossel of Iraq. I said Crown Prince Faisal Gossel of Iraq. And there are a lot of other hams, Mrs. Hall's kind. I mean, there is W5DEW, for example, who is Mary, the Dewdrop of Texas, and the mother of four children. There is Howard Hughes. There is Wilmer Allison, the tennis star. There is Dr. James Hard, the John D. Rockefeller of Mexico, who has invested $150,000 in amateur radio. This is the son of Herbert Hoover, too, and Andy Sinella, the band leader, and about 85,000 others, including Amos of our own Campbell Soups, Amos and Andy. I don't know what makes a ham. Mrs. Hall's kind, I mean. But I do know that it's very lucky for an awful lot of people that hams do exist. And 214 of those lucky people are especially lucky and especially grateful to Mrs. Hall. They are the 214 great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren of the crew of the HMS Bounty. Remember the headlines? Pitcairn Islanders face starvation, Bounty survivors isolated by typhoid rumor, Queen's woman rallies British to aid survivors, radio amateur acts to save starving inhabitants. Well, that was only last summer, and only last summer it was that the rumors of a dangerous epidemic forced the little island into a tragic quarantine that threatened to erase all life from Pitcairn. That same Pitcairn, that same paradise that Mr. Christian and the rest of them founded 150 years ago in tonight's story. What happened was this. Stories of a contagious disease on Pitcairn Island spread faster than any disease through the islands, from Panama to Tahiti, from Samoa to New Zealand, and boats, all of them, from the biggest traders to the littlest tramps, kept off. The harbor was closed. Pitcairn Islanders watched them, boats with food and most vital with medical supplies, sail past them almost within shouting distance and away into the sky. And so it was that slow death and death by torture faced a community in the very presence of civilization, faced a people whose ancestors had known this torment and this kind of death. And here's how another chapter was written in the saga of the Bounty. Andrew Young, descendant of midshipman Edward Young, latitude 25 minutes, 4 seconds south, longitude 130 minutes, 6 seconds west, fighting time, fighting the ebbing power of his radio transmitter, found an old friend in the ether whom he knew well and whom he had never seen 7,740 miles away. A colleague in the great good fellowship of radio hams. Found and gave the word to Mrs. Dorothy Hall, 18618 Williamson Avenue, Springfield Gardens, Queens, Long Island, New York. And here she is. Mrs. Dorothy Hall, who picked up the message and gave it to the world. I'd like you to meet Mrs. Hall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Mrs. Hall, will you please read the entry which you made in your log on July 19th of last year?
Certainly, Mr. Wells. Here it is. 4:38 a.m. While in contact with VR-6AY, he requested that I contact the British Consul that no ships had stopped for trading since May 25th and they needed food and medical supplies.
Mrs. Hall, when did help finally reach the islanders?
Just 9 days after I received the message.
They must be tremendously grateful for what you've done for them.
Well, they're very nice people.
I think you're understating the situation, Mrs. Hall. I must tell you that since Mrs. Hall rescued Pitcairn Island, I found out from other sources she's become what amounts to its unofficial consul general, purchasing agent, advisor, and guardian angel.
Well, Mr. Wells, that's quite a title.
Tell us, Mrs. Hall, what do you think is the outlook for the islanders?
I'm afraid not so very encouraging. They are entirely cut off from regular professional medical attention, whereas they recovered from this epidemic, which incidentally has never been diagnosed. It is more than possible, particularly with the threat of cholera, that someday a ship will pull into the harbor and find no one alive.
Mrs. Hall, certainly something should be done about this. The people at Pitcairn Island need a doctor. They need someone to tell them what they've got when they're sick and someone to cure them when they've got it. They need at least the simplest medical supplies. I don't know what can be done, but maybe somebody, somewhere, who's listening to this will know the answer. Let's hope so. And now, before wishing you good night, Mrs. Hall, and thanking you for visiting us at the Campbell Playhouse, I'd like our listeners to hear what I found in your log when I visited your home the other day. It's your most recent entry regarding the island. It's just a sentence, but I think it's very eloquent. It's from the Chief Magistrate of Pitcairn Island to Mrs. Dorothy Hall. Quote, "You do what is for our good. It's okay with me." Signed, Richard Edward Christian.